Okay, wonderful to see everyone here tonight. This week's parsha is Parshas Chayei Sara. Very interestingly, the Medrash tells us that Rabbi Akiva haya yoshe v'doresh, that Rabbi Akiva was sitting and darshaning, he was expounding the Torah, v'hatzibor misnamnim, and he saw that tzibor, the community, the talmidim, the people that were coming and listening to the drasha, he saw that they were dozing off, they were sleeping, they were shluffing. Bikesh la'oron, so we see it doesn't only happen, but I feel honored. If it happens to Rabbi Akiva, much more so it should happen to me. The tzibor misnamnim, and he saw that the tzibor was sleeping. Bikesh la'oron, Rabbi Akiva had wished to wake them up. Amar, he said, he tried to make the shir a little bit lighter. He said, Ma ra'asa Esther, shetimlo chal sheba ve'esrim umeya medina. He said, why was Esther ra'asa? Why was she fit to rule over 127 provinces? In other words, what schus, what merit did she have? Ella, tavo Esther shahaisa basbita shel Sara, shahaisa kuf v'chaf v'zayin. The answer is that Esther, who was the descendant of Sarah, who lived for 127 years, kam v'timloch al kuf v'chav v'zayin medinos. Let her come and rule over 127 provinces. Very interestingly, the Medrash is telling us that there is this idea, this connection between Sara Imenu and Esther Hamalka, that the schus that Esther Hamalka had was that she was the schus that she had to lead or to rule over 127 medinos corresponds to the 127 years that Sara Imenu had lived. The Aznayin LaTorah Rav Zalman Sarotskin asks a very insightful question. Hello, kama nechtos haya l'Sara. Sara was Imenu, she was our mother. She had many, many descendants that came from her. V'lama zachsa dafka Esther lozeh. What was it about Esther that created this bond between Esther and Sara? So that's the question, that's our first question. What was unique about Esther that created this idea, this image, that Esther and Sara have this connection? There's clearly more of a connection than simply they'd be related. The Medrash is telling us, Rabbi Akiva is expounding, that there was some other connection that they had other than the fact that they were related, because we know that Sara Imenu had many, many descendants and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren that came from her. There has to be something more special, more unique, that was Misyaches, that connected both of these two luminaries of the Jewish people. So that's our first question. Our second question is very, very interestingly, we all know that this is the parsha that Eliezer comes and finds a wife for Yitzchak. We know that the Torah spends and expends many, many pages discussing at great length what he went through, what he did, where he went, how long it took, who he met with, and ultimately how it was that he came to find Rivka. So the Torah tells us, Vayoretz ha'ebed likrasa, that the servant, referring to Eliezer, ran towards Rivka. What was it that compelled him? What did he see that was different with her? So the Medrash tells us, again in Medrash Rabbah, Kol hanashim yardos umemamlos min ha'ayin, that all of the women, they went down and they filled their jugs from the spring. But this one, Vizu kevan shiro osa hamayim miyad alu, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Simon Libnayich. All the women came down and filled their jugs from the spring, but this one, referring to Rivka, as soon as the water saw her, it immediately rose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Rivka, at Simon Libnayich, you are a sign to your children. Ma'at kevan sharo osach hamayim miyad alu, just as was the case with you, that as soon as the water saw you, as soon as the water saw you, it immediately rose. Af bonayach, similarly, your children, as soon as the water, the be'er, ro osan miyad tehe ola, immediately it would rise as well. And this is what it means, az yashir Yisrael es hashira hazos ali be'er. So Chazal teach us that what it was that Eliezer had seen that distinguished her from all the other women was that, unlike the other women that had to come and draw their water, when it came to Rivka Imenu, the water rose to her. And that's the idea of Vayaretz Ha'evel Dekrasa, that Eliezer, he saw that there's something different, compelling about her, unlike any other one. Though the Medrash tells us, he continues weiter further on, and the Medrash tells us something totally different. He says that Vayaretz Ha'evel Dekrasa is Likras Ma'aseh Tovim. He ran towards Rivka's Maisim Tovim, her good deeds. So, what exactly is it? Is it her good deeds? That he saw that there was something compelling about her, her midos tovos, her nature? He saw that she was someone who's compassionate, who's kind, who's considerate, who's benevolent, who's sympathetic? Or is it that he saw that there was something different about her, that unlike all the other women, the water rose to her? So what is it that ultimately drew Eliezer, compelling him, Vayaratz ha'eved likrasa? It seems to be that there is a stira, there's a contradiction from one medrash to another. And our third and final question is that this is the parsha as well, where Sarah Imenu dies, but Thomas Sarah Bikiryas Arba, which was Hebron and Eretz Canaan, Avram came to Lispo Lisarva Livkosa, and then Avram realized that he has to come and he has to find a burial place for his wife. So he spoke to the people of Ches and he says, look, Ger v'soshav anochi imachem. I'm a ger, I'm a stranger, but I'm also a resident among you. Do me a favor. Tenu li achuzas kever imachem. Come, allow me to have this place as a place to bury my dead. Vayanu b'nei Ches es Avram lemor lo. And ultimately the b'nei Ches told Avram, saying, Shemayeni Adoni, Nasi Elohim Atah B'Sochenu, right? You're a prince of God. We're not going to withhold this place of burial for you. Then the Psukim tell us, Vayokam Abraham Vayishtachu Lam Haretz, he bowed down. Vayidaber Itam Leimor, he spoke to them. And he asked ultimately to be introduced to none other than to Ephron Hachiti, the proprietor of this estate. It seems to be puzzling to me that the Torah expends much time, more time, on Avram finding a burial place for his wife than perhaps on all of the chasadim and all of the mitzvos that Avram was mekayim. Yeah, the Torah spends a little bit of time focusing on the hachnasas orchim of Avram. Do we know that he was mekayim kol haTorah kula, that he kept all of the mitzvos, including Erev Tavshilin? No, the Gemara tells us that. We know that he was a machnis oreach, that he invited guests into his home. But why is it that we're spending so much time, more time on Avram finding a burial plot for his wife than on all of the other mitzvos that Avram and Sarah were engaged in? So perhaps you'll tell me, well, it shows us that Eretz Yisrael and Kiryas Arba, Hebron, it's ours. It belongs to us. Hence, we make an effort to go to Hebron this Shabbos, and we still stay in Hebron, and we live in Hebron. It belongs to us. But do we really need that? After all, according to Rashi, Breishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim V'Eis HaAretz, that in the beginning God created the Shemayim, the heaven and the earth. And Rashi comes and asks, why is it necessary to tell us that God was the creator of the world? Which is the first mitzvah. So says Rashi, well, why is it that we begin with Breishis? In other words, if the nations of the world are going to come and tell Klal Yisrael that you're listim, that you stole our land, you conquered the land of the seven nations, the entire land belongs to Hashem. He created the world, he gave it to you, but then he took it from you and gave it to us. So we know that Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, and we know that every part of Eretz Yisrael belongs to us, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he decided to give it to us. I don't need to spend so much time speaking about the Kfura and buying Maras HaMachpelah and discussing the exchange between Bnei Ches and Avram, including Ephron into this discussion. More time is spent on that than all the other mitzvos that perhaps Avram had done, or at least as much time. And why is it truly necessary? The Malbim writes in his Perish Torah Or, Perichav Gimel, Pasachav, he says that the reason why Avram Avinu wanted to purchase Maaras HaMachpelah and make a big deal of it, and why it is that the Torah expends so much time discussing and talking about it, is Lahanchil Ulahashrish Ba'olam, is to implant and to give over to the world the idea that when a person dies, their soul and their essence remains in this world after the Petiras Ha'adam, after a person passes. In other words, when a person dies, when he's Nifter, he's not removed from this world, but rather he goes from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. He's still in the world. He's still there. The Neshama hasn't passed. And therefore, Avram Avinu, at the time that he purchased Maaras HaMachpelah, he was Mefarsem. He came and he gathered people and he negotiated and he made it a Pirsum Gadol in order to implant this idea in the world. Until that point, the world didn't understand that when you die, it doesn't mean you die and you're dead and you're finished. It means that you just pass. You go from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. But the neshama still permeates the world. It's still there. There's still a concept of a neshama coming down to a simcha. There's an idea of the living going to the Kivrei Avos, to the burial place of those that had passed on, davening, beseeching the neshama that now has a clearer connection to the Almighty, to daven on our behalf. And this is why the Torah spends so much energy, because it's not just a burial plot. But it's an idea that there is an Olam Hazeh, and that Olam Haba is connected to Olam Hazeh in a very real, powerful way. This is a hashkafa that has to be known. It's not simply an exchange, a negotiation. It's not simply a burial. This is a lesson in eternity. That we believe that the neshama doesn't cease. The guf might, but the neshama is eternal and lives on and endures forever, for eternity. Essentially, we're spending so much time on a fundamental hashkafic course that teaches us that there is a connection between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Such an important, important lesson, such a valuable hashkafic idea. Not only is there a connection of Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba from going from this world to the next world, but the Medrash actually, that we had spoken about earlier, asking the contradiction between one Medrash to another, the Eitz Yosef comes and tells us that those two Medrashim are not a contradiction at all, but rather, it's something very powerful. Listen to his words. He says, Habe'er ole kenegda. The Be'er came up to her, Shelakach rats, and that's why he ran. Biyichud dafka eleha, yoser milineged shar naaros. Unlike all of the other naaros, where it didn't come to them, b'pnei shera v'hikir ba, sheyesh ba maisim tovim. In other words, it was because of her stature, because of her maisim tovim, that something supernatural came about. The water understood, as did Eliezer, because she was such a special person, because of her Maisim Tovim, because of her kind deeds, that ultimately the water rose to her. So he saw the water rise to her, and he realized that it was her Maisim Tovim that stood out, unlike all of those other Naros, all those other young women. That's the young woman, that's the lady that I want for Yitzchak to be the aim of Klal Yisrael. We see from here that not only is there a connection of Olam Hazeh going to Olam Haba, a different world, we see that even within Olam Hazeh, there's Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, this world, we have people, and we have water, and we have a well. All of that is Olam Hazeh. All of those are part of the world that we live in, where we have to put in our hishtadlus. We want to drink, we have to draw the water. But when people reach such a lofty level in spirituality, such a dveikut b'Hashem, a connection with Hashem, it's possible to have supernatural. It's possible to be an Olam Haba, a spiritual entity, removed from a guf, even in this world. Rivka Imenu, she was a physical being, but she had transcended her physical and became a spiritual person where she wasn't relegated to the laws of nature. Nature dictates gravity. Water doesn't rise to you. You have to draw the water. But we see that not only is it that there's a different world of Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, which we all eventually will reach. The neshama and the guf is connected, and the guf overtakes and weighs down the neshama. But when we get to the next world, the guf goes into the ground, and the neshama goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the burial place reminds us that there's a life of eternity. But then there are special people where the guf doesn't weigh down. And they're actually spiritual beings, spiritual entities, people that aren't tied to their guf. And they're acquainted and they're exposed to another reality, a world of the neshama, where gravity doesn't play a part in their lives. That is Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. And then there's the third classification. The third classification is Olam Hazeh in Olam Hazeh, which means that when a person lives their life in this world and they live their lives in a certain way, a way which is connecting to Hashem, the schus of an ancestor, if an ancestor did something good, something positive, it impacts future generations in Olam Hazeh decades, years later. And that was Sara Imenu. Says Reb Zalman Sirotkin in the Yoznayim LaTorah, Dafka Esther, it was Esther who was Bas Bita Shel Sara, who was a descendant, a granddaughter of Tzara. Sheyarsha Es Midoseha, she inherited her character, her midos. Sheamda Kamoa Binisoyon Hachi Gadol Eitzel Hanashim, she withstood a tremendous test. Binisayon Hayofi Hamuflag, an unbelievable one. At Shemelech Hagodol Hamolech Al Kuv Zayin Medinos, where the king over this entire world placed upon her Keser Malchus. But it didn't faze her. She didn't care about that. Rather, Kasher Avadati Avadati. Chazal explains that she lived in the house of this king, and she still remained pure. Her sole goal and focus was the Hatzolas Yisrael, to save Klal Yisrael. She lived in the king's palace, and yet her concern was her people. She didn't care about wealth, fortune, prosperity, crowns on her head. He nishara bebeis hamelech. She remained in the house of the king, but yet she still felt like that poor Yisoma, that orphan. Shenizgadla bebeis doda, that grew up in the house of her uncle. And it was only to him that she listened to, because she had come, and she never lost the spirit, bebeis Mordechai HaYehudi. Alchai HaHololos, Vishikras, Vitanuge Olam Hazeh. She wasn't interested in the frivolity and the drunkenness and the parties of Olam Hazeh, living in the palace of Achashverosh. Where did she learn this from? She was Yarsha. She inherited this from none other than Sari Menu. Sari Menu was the most beautiful woman. She was gorgeous. She had a yofi, as Chazal tells us. She had the beauty of a seven-year-old. She went down to Mitzrayim. They saw her beauty. They placed the Keser Malchus on her head. And yet, she davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take her out of there, says the Medrash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took her out. He inflicted a plague upon Paro. And ultimately, she chose a life of Ruach v'neshama. La'asos nefashos l'elokei olam beis Avram. She could have lived with Paro in this beautiful palace. Instead, she was traveling. She was a nomad. She goes down to Eretz Canaan. She's told you're going to have plenty of riches there. Her husband's like, we're going to have plenty. We finally made it. She comes, nothing's there. She could turn to her husband and say, you told me we're going to make it. You told me about all these riches and wealth and prosperity, and we have nothing. You're a failure. You're a reject. Avram says, no. Now we got it. We just got to go down to Mitzrayim. We go down to Mitzrayim, and she's kidnapped by this disgusting person, Paro, but she comes into this beautiful home. She can turn to her husband and say, look, Avram, look, I understand. But I finally have everything here. She wasn't interested. And because she wasn't interested, because of that choice that she made, future generations in Olam Hazeh were impacted positively. She ingrained in Esther, and ultimately Esther was Zochet to rule over 127 provinces because of a decision of her ancestor, of Sarah Imenu. We see there's three categories. There's a connection of Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. We don't die. And then there's a connection that even within Olam Hazeh, there's Olam Haba. If you're a lofty person in the Mirtz Hashem, we should all be Zoche and merit to be on such a madrega. And then there's Olam Hazeh within Olam Hazeh. That what we do in this world can impact future generations in Olam Hazeh. They will be Zoche to whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deems fit, typically Mida Kenegen Mida. There's such depth to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. There's such depth to how HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and judges us. He doesn't only judge us for the here and now, but He judges us for generations to come. And He also judges us from Olam Hazeh to ultimately Olam Haba. But there is eternal life in this world, Olam Hazeh, Olam Hazeh, and Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba, and even in this world, in Olam Hazeh, to live in Olam Haba, tick of life. Have a wonderful night.